Let's travel the world together. She can make it easy and in any kind of weather. No TSA, no bad checks, no patting down. She's talking from the skies and sending lots of feel-good sounds. Oh, Betty in the sky, have you heard her yet? She loves traveling, there's no doubt. Betty and the Jets. Oh, she's weird and wonderful. Oh, Betty, she's a podcast queen. She's wearing high heel shoes, got her wings on too. You know I've never seen a better stew. Oh, Betty and the Jets.
Hello and welcome to Betty in the Sky with a Suitcase. I'm Boop. I'm a flight attendant for a major airline, and I bring you stories from the airplane, from the flight attendants and the pilots, and from traveling around the world. This episode, we have stories about pot, fights, pranks, spinouts, halos, cargo, masks and moons. The music for the show is something a little different. It's something I find heartwarming about the pandemic. It's all, you know, the Italians, the Germans, the Indians, and the New Yorkers singing and clapping in a sign of camaraderie and solidarity and, most importantly, gratitude for the essential workers and especially healthcare workers. Let's get on with the show. I was talking to a friend, and he was telling me this story about an infamous flight attendant who's known for partying a lot, and she's also very well known for getting herself out of scrapes. You know, she thinks really fast on her feet. She has 9 lives. So this is back a long time ago, before we got drug tested and before pot was legal anywhere. And so this flight attendant was on a layover, and she was with another flight attendant who's also famous for partying, and they were smoking pot in their hotel room on a layover. And so here comes security. They're like, we need you to open the door. Someone's complaining. We think you're smoking pot in there. We think you're doing drugs in there. And she was like, oh, yes, you know, I work for the airline, and my airline has very strict policies that as a female, I cannot open my door for a man, and because you might not really be with security. And he was like, well, we've had complaints that you're doing drugs in there. And she said, I smelled that too. And I called downstairs to complain. Nobody came up to investigate. And he was like so flummoxed, he just left. So hydrochloroquine has been in the news a lot in regards to the coronavirus. And people have been debating whether or not it will help with the coronavirus, whether it's dangerous. And Trump has been very pro hydrochloroquine. And I just want to say that I've taken hydrochloroquine. Maybe a lot of you have, I don't know. But for malaria, the first drug, at least in my traveling days, there might have been something before then, other than just, you know, quinine and a gin and tonic. But so Larium was the first one that I took when I was traveling. And that's when I was in India, and we had these crazy, crazy hallucinogenic dreams. And there were 3 of us traveling, and 2 of us were on Larium. And the other one was, I think she was on hydrochloroquine, because I think she couldn't take Larium for some reason. But she was fine on the hydrochloroquine. But the 2 of us are on Larium. The first time we realized there was a problem with it was when my friend, she's a really good traveler, a beautiful redhead. Anyway, not that's either here or there. But anyway, we were in this, we'd only been in India a few days, and the 3 of us were sharing a room. And my friend, like, she tends to have to go to the bathroom a few times a night. And there's 3 of us in a room. So when I heard her get up to go to the bathroom, I thought, oh, well, I'll go to the bathroom too this way. I won't have to wake anybody up if I have to go later, right? Anyway, so I get up to go to the bathroom, you know, and I'm blonde and I'm pale. And and you're going, what does that have to do with going to the bathroom? But my friend, she sees me as she's coming out of the bathroom. I'm going in, and she's like, like, she's in a horror movie. And I'm like, it's me. It's Betty. What's wrong? What's wrong? And she's like, And we couldn't calm her down. She was like backed up against a wall looking at me with horror. And she said later I was like a pale white like ghost with a staff, like, you know, like the vision of death. And it took us a long time because, like, she's awake, she's walking, but she was still dreaming. And then we kept having this, and we actually thought it was funny when it was the other person having it. It wasn't as funny when it was you. The next one, I was in my sleeping bag. We were in a terrible place, Rishikesh. It might be nice now, but it was horrible when we were there. And we were staying in the best place we could find, but there were like bugs circling the bed. And we had our sleeping bags with us because we were going to do some hiking in the Himalayas. So we were sleeping in our sleeping bags on top of the bed because we were all afraid of the sheets or whatever. It was just not optimal. So I'm in my sleeping bag and I wake up and I'm hitting the sleeping bag, and they're like, what are you doing? And I'm like, why is there all this pottery in my sleeping bag? And they're thinking, there's no pottery in your sleeping bag. And because now we knew what it was kind of fun to mess with the person who was having their hallucinogenic dreams. And they're like, what color is the pottery? And I'm like, it's blue and white. Like, of course it's blue and white. What's wrong with you? And then we had more of those things happen on the trip with Larium, my first malaria drug. But the problem was when I got back, because you still had to take it for like 4 weeks afterwards when you got back, and I was on a layover and there was a giant pig on my bed, like kneading the bed, kind of like a cat does. And I was like, ah! And I came very close. Thank goodness. I don't know what made me stop. I almost called down to the front desk to say there was a giant pig in my room. So yes, I did not like Larium. No Larium. So then my next drug that I took was, if I was going to South America, they prescribed the hydrochloroquine, and they don't prescribe it a bunch of places now because they've developed immunity. The mosquitoes, I guess. I don't know. There's developed immunity. So sometimes if it is a place where they haven't had developed immunity, they will try to give you the hydrochloroquine. And I took it, and I didn't have any terrible side effects, except for I had like a red rash all over the place. So maybe it was just me, maybe it was just how I, you know, reacted to the drug. But if you're going on vacation, you don't really want to be covered in a rash. So I didn't like that drug, but I don't think, at least for me, it wasn't dangerous. And I think now with the COVID-19, they're prescribing it along with a Z-Pak. So like a Z-Pak and hydrochloroquine, you know, trying anything they can. But anyway, then came Malarone. Malarone. No side effects. Fantastic. And so it's expensive, but there's no side effects. And so any number I've needed anti-malaria drugs quite frequently from all the places I've gone. And I sometimes go in and have my prescription and they come out with Larium and I'd be like, oh no, Malarone. I don't want the Larium. I don't want to be seeing big pigs in my hotel room. I didn't say that. But other times they'd come back with the hydrochloroquine and I'd be like, no, I don't want that. I want Malarone because I don't want the hydrochloroquine because I'm going to be covered in a rash. At one point, my airline was giving out Malarone in the flight attendant lounge because we had just started flying to part of Africa where you need it. And nobody else was excited, of course. And I got wind, like upstairs. I wasn't in the lounge. I was just going through Atlanta. I wasn't based there at the time. And they were like, oh yeah, they have, they're giving away some malaria drug in the lounge. And I was like, what? Hold on, stop. They're giving it, is it Malarone? And they're like, yeah. And I'm like, move out of my way. Gotta get me some Malarone. I'm at the grocery store and the guy in front of me, I barely noticed him. I did notice that I can be a little hypervigilant. I do notice things, you know, even if it doesn't pertain to me. He had two things of ice cream. No big deal, right? What do I care? What do I care what anybody has, right? So I didn't see the people in front of him, but apparently the woman in front of him had a bunch of pasta and they had, the clerk had said, you're not allowed to have, they're now instituting, you're only allowed if they're running out of things, you're only allowed one or two of something, and she had too many. And he said, did you just tell that woman she couldn't buy that much pasta? And she was like, yeah, you know, that's the new rule of stuff we're running out of, you know, limited to a certain amount. And he said, what if she has a large family? You saying that she cannot feed her family pasta tonight because of your restrictions? And the woman, the clerk's like, I don't make the rules. I'm just here, you know, I'm just an hourly worker. And he was like, you people are not letting Americans be Americans. There should be no restrictions, no restrictions. If somebody gets here early and they want to buy all the toilet paper, if they want to buy 300 containers of toilet paper, they should be able to buy all the toilet paper they want. This is America. No restrictions. There should be no restrictions. And he's got his hands waving. I was afraid maybe he was going to start swinging, you know, and I'm averting my eyes, kind of like, ooh. I don't know. And then he starts saying, it's the Democrats. It's the Democrats. They're putting all these restrictions. And I was thinking, it's just the grocery store. I don't think it has to do with any political party. And I, after he left, luckily he was all red in the face, you know, I was nice to the lady and I'm like, hey, you know, guy's crazy. You know, he's angry. People are angry. They don't like that they're getting stuck at home. He's just looking to pick a fight with anybody. And she was like, oh, my gosh. She goes, I was just backing up. I was afraid he might hit me. And I was like, I was afraid to too. Crazy times.
It was on my flight. And we used to have the, you know, full-size trash carts. And this gal would get inside the trash cart, put her hand out and take people's trash. So it was like
the hand.
The hand.
What was it?
Trash.
The thing. Is that what it was on the Munsters? Wasn't there a hand?
I think it was.
So, you know, there's all these rabbit holes you can fall down. Lots of times it's like, oh, let's see if anybody's reviewed my books. And it's like, no. And then right under all of my books and on the Amazon search, there is a book called, get this, Boop, You're the Boss. You Can Manage It. And I was called Betty Boop when I was growing up. And they stopped the name Betty Boop and just called me Boop or Boops. And I have a good friend that still calls me Boop. But you know, it was kind of problematic when I was growing up being a boop or boops because I've always been, well endowed. And so being called boops is mighty close to boobs. And then one day I was looking at my reviews and I was like, oh, look, there's one. Yay! It was for Marjo the Only, the third book in the Tar series. And this was from BK. And the title was Good, Clean, Fun. And it's like, I just want to go, yay! Actually, I don't know if BK is a he or she, but they said, I really enjoyed this series. Betty's quirky sense of humor really comes through. It's fun to read a book by someone you know. And I feel like I do know Betty after listening to hours of her podcasts over the years. Here's hoping there are more books to come. And then it's like, okay, great. Thank you, BK. So I like that fight that I saw at the grocery store where the guy was upset with the woman couldn't get as much pasta as she wanted at the grocery store. What I realized, I was commuting home from my first domestic flight in ages. And of course, there's not very many people on the plane. And there was a guy, I saw him in the gatehouse and my spidey sense went up. You know, I've been doing this for too long. I've been around too many people for too long. I can spot a problem. You know, this guy had a bunch of tattoos, which is no big deal, but he had crazy eyes. And I was like, that dude's crazy. I could just tell. So now he's sitting one row behind me and across the aisle. And I'm a passenger. I'm in regular clothes. And he didn't say anything when the flight attendants were coming through or like when they were doing the safety demo or anything. But he's inches away from doing something and I can sense it. I can tell, but now I'm not working. And it's like, do I draw the attention of the crew? You know, you don't know what to do, but he's starts moaning and talking to himself. He wasn't on a phone. I looked over at one point, and I'm sorry, this is a little off color, but he had his hand down his shorts, which then I could say something then, but then he stopped doing that. And he's groaning, and then he started like growling, and he's saying weird things out loud, wanting attention, wanting a fight. Every PA that came on, he would mock the PA, and he'd say like, "Welcome to COVID Airlines." I mean, he could have been on drugs, he could have been drunk, mental issues. Darn, I have some hypervigilance. It's like, why do I have to pay attention? It's a 35-minute flight. Hold it together, man. After like the growling, he started air kissing, you know, but I'm not on duty. I'm not making eye contact. I'm trying not to get in his radar because I can tell like there was a guy sitting right in front of him. I could tell that guy was tense. He was like, should I be doing something? I don't know. I mean, he was saying things like, holy crap, Space Jam. I don't know. Like, what do you do? Do you say something? You not say something? Technically, he hasn't done anything illegal except for when he was touching his junk. But he didn't do that for very long. So we landed safely and he got off. But I think if anybody would have, he was trying to get someone to engage with him. And if somebody would have engaged, I think he would have blown. And what I've realized, a lot of people haven't been in a crisis time. After 9/11, I saw the same thing. It's like people with underlying issues, they spin out. Like if you got cracks and then something really serious happens, you just spin out. Like we had a lot of flight attendants get fired after 9/11. Like they had issues before, but then it was like now we're dealing with something big, you know, something affects everyone. You know, people can die and people had died. And anyway, we're in that time again. And I got to watch for these people spinning out. I've been busy. I know that sounds weird when you're not working, but I've been really busy. I've been day trading on the stock market. I've been recording the Tar Pack audiobook and editing. That's the fourth book in the Tar series. And I think all things, fingers crossed, I think the book and the audiobook will be out before the next podcast, but I'll keep you updated. I've been working out. I've been painting. I've been going through, oh my gosh, I didn't realize I have receipts for things I sent, like FedEx receipts from the 90s. The 90s. I have taxes. I'm going through and shredding and finding all this stuff. And I'm thinking, I can't believe I saved all this paper. And I moved it across the country. Like, I think I thought it was too big a job back then. Now I'm tackling that big job. But a lot of these things I'm doing aren't necessarily, I mean, of course, working on the podcast. But a lot of it's kind of like work, right? You know, so I'll be like, I'll get myself distracted. Like, look, the laundry room ceiling needs painted. I'll do that instead of going through all these papers. I had some holes that I put in. So, you know, I'm spackling. Now it's paint time. And I don't know about you, but I tape off, you know, the painter's tape. And then I use a brush around the edges. And then I use a roller. And to put the tape on, I stood on a chair. I don't use a ladder because I live in a condo. I don't know where to store it. So I just get up and down off a chair. But I'm tall. And so when I got up on the chair, I had to stoop. So I get the paint done. I get the edges done. Now it's time to roll. I'm like, okay, great. This is, I like a project where you can see the end, like your results. You know, it's like satisfying instead of like the big project of all that paper. Or the audiobook, because the audiobook, you would think the audiobook wouldn't be a problem for me because I record and I edit, but the audiobook is the biggest job. I don't know why. Anyway, now I'm rolling the laundry room and I'm up on the chair and I'm stooping and I'm trying to get above. I have a stackable washer and dryer, so I'm trying to roll, get back there. You know, it's kind of hard because there's not that much space between the ceiling and washing machine. So anyway, I'm getting back there and I'm rolling and I'm rolling, and then it hit me. My head is on the ceiling. My head is in the paint that I just put on the ceiling. And then I was like, oh my gosh, oh my gosh. Oh no, oh no. I go and run to the mirror and I had a paint halo on my head. And I was like, oh my gosh, oh my gosh, oh my gosh. I rip my clothes off, jump in the shower, and I'm like, oh my gosh, oh my gosh, oh my gosh. And the shampoo, I always make fun of shampoo because it's like shampoo, rinse, repeat. And I'm always like, who repeats? You don't shampoo your hair twice. Well, guess what? When you have a paint hair halo, you shampoo, rinse, repeat. So you worked for another airline. I like to hear other airline stories.
Okay, so there was a flight attendant that seen a pilot downstairs at the bar overnight past the drinking hours.
Okay.
And instead of going to say something to him or say anything, she takes it upon herself to let it go at the moment. They show up to work the next day. They operate a flight. And once they land, she reports him. Well, instead of the pilot losing his job, she lost hers because they said that why did you willingly let him fly the plane knowing he drank when he wasn't supposed to?
Yeah.
So she lost her job and he went to rehab.
Woo! I'd like to thank any of you who were so kind when you bought something on Amazon. You went to my website first, BettyInTheSky.com. It doesn't cost you any more. It supports the show. And I like to see what people buy, and this past month was very coronavirus specific, like rubber gloves, face masks, and a book called The Passage, the original post-apocalyptic virus thriller. And I am, since I have some time, I am approaching sponsors. So I'm hoping to have a sponsor or two. And I just wanted to let you guys know ahead of time that if I end up ever having more than two ads and a podcast, I'll figure out a way to do a ad-free version of the podcast for very little money, maybe on Patreon or Stitcher Premium. So if you don't want the ads, you'll have a way to not have to listen to them. But anyway, thanks for going to Amazon and clicking through my website, and I thank you very, very much. This is like the worst time to have a hot flash. I've had them for a while now. They're almost gone, so I'm real used to them. You know, it's really irritating. And but, you know, it's no big deal, and it doesn't last very long. That's why it's called a flash. So I have a little cough. So I'm at the grocery store, and I hadn't even noticed that I had done a little cough, and then had a hot flash, and I started, it must have been like six people nearby, and I just saw their faces turn like a horror movie, because they think I have the coronavirus, because they think I have a fever, and I have a cough, and I wanted to say, no, it's a hot flash, not coronavirus. Instead, I didn't say anything. I just looked like, I kind of pretended like I forgot something, and I went to an aisle just to wait it out, because it doesn't take very long, and then those people were gone, and then I went ahead and checked out. You know, this has been such a strange time. My airline is actually having cargo-only flights. Did you hear that right? Cargo-only flights. And get this, you have to have flight attendants. Only a few. But they said, you know, if something caught fire or something in the cabin, they have systems in the baggage area, but they don't in the cabin. To detect it or whatever. So get this, they're putting the cargo in the overhead bins. I was kind of thinking, that might kind of be a kind of fun flights to work. Cargo only. I've made a lot of jokes about doing the podcast in my closet because it has better audio quality because of the clothes. And now I've realized that the whole world is in their closet. Everybody's doing these Zoom conference calls and Zoom podcasts and Zoom TV, Zoom, everything, and a lot of people are in the closet. And hey, I just want to say, I was one of the first people to be in the closet. And about the closet, one of the problems about being in the closet for me is that I have a restaurant in my front yard, and it's noisy, so I have to shut all the doors, and I can't have the air conditioning on because of the noise. So it gets really hot, and I used to, doing audiobooks, sometimes I would be in my underwear in my closet because it's hot. But guess what? Restaurant's closed. It's not noisy. I don't have to shut the door in the closet. So in a way, the whole world is now in the closet, and I'm slightly out of the closet.
When we first got our Boeing 767s, it was a whole different toilet flushing system.
Oh yeah.
And we were intrigued by that. So because of the tremendous suction, it didn't use water, it was just suction. So we thought it would be pretty funny to see what actually it could suck down the toilet. So we would start at the beginning of first class with a roll of toilet paper, and we would run it all the way back to the aft lounge.
It's amazing. I've done it too.
And
shocking.
The very end of it in, and it would suck the whole toilet paper all the way down the aisle.
It's amazing.
Yeah, it
really
is.
I was just going through and deleting podcast episodes because they take up a lot of space on your computer, and I get you're starting to run out of storage. Anyway, I was going through it, and I have mine on there, and I was going through and looking at the titles, and episode 78 was called Cootieville in Germberg. Cootieville in Germberg. Well, nothing more apropos in, virus time than Cootieville and Germberg. So I was walking at the beach, and in front of me, also walking, are two guys and a girl. And neither of the guys are cute or fit. I'm being kind there. And the one pulls down his pants, revealing his bum. He's basically mooning the camera, and it's like, okay. But the curious part was another group of people not involved with this group at all are playing like a boombox, and they're playing Mississippi Moon. Like, what are the chances he's mooning when these people are playing Mississippi Moon? Won't you keep on shining on me? I have a lot of work to do during this whole quarantine, so it's not like I'm lacking of things to do, but I want to make sure I'm still getting exercise. So I go walking, and I have any number of things I do in between working on the podcast or writing or typing or editing or audio books, all those things. I have a whole kettlebell workout. You know, it's just online, like 30 kettlebell exercises, and I like the kettlebells, and I've been doing them a long time, but it's on my iPad, and I think it's been a year now. And your mind sort of decides something is called a certain thing, and then you don't really see what it really is. So that's just like when I did that terrible mistake. I still get people, because people find the podcast and go back and listen, and then they haven't heard them in order, so they don't realize that I apologized in the next episode. But I get people saying, it's Gander, where the planes land after 9/11. Gander. You kept saying Grander. But I, in my mind, had decided that's what it was called. So I'm doing these kettlebell exercises, and I thought the one, my favorite one, was the gobble squat. And I always got a laugh out of it, too. It's so funny that they call this the gobble squat. And I just realized now that it's a goblet squat, which makes so much more sense. But it was kind of like, wah, wah, wah. You like that exercise so much because it had a funny name, the gobble squat. And it's a goblet squat. I had mentioned in the last podcast that I've been having trouble getting masks. I haven't actually been washing out my masks that you're not supposed to reuse, but I've ordered masks, but none of them have come. And I did make a mask out of a bra, but it's slightly embarrassing wearing a bra on your face. I made myself a hot pink mask that I kind of made with that Stitch Witch. I didn't sew it. I just used that stuff for hemming that you iron. And I thought it was pretty good. I thought it looked pretty good. And I was at Walmart checking out, and the thing just fell off. so much for my sewing skills. But anyway, I was saying in the last podcast that I have that full face snorkel mask. And, you know, that's sustainable. You can wipe it down, but it hasn't gotten that bad there that I really need to feel like I need to wear my snorkel mask in public. But get this. This, you know, there's days that are really long. And then sometimes you get an email with a picture or a video that just makes you laugh out loud. And I got this. I got pictures and videos from listener Rocco. And Rocco said, you know, you mentioned the snorkel mask as a personal protective device. Well, I've got you one better. He said, I wore my scuba gear to the post office. That's one way to go. Bring your own air. Loved it. Well, that's about it for this episode of Betty in the Sky with a Suitcase. I hope you'll join me again next time, so hopefully we can start traveling around the world together. Thanks. Bye.